Today, we discuss Logan, Marcus witnesses D&D, then we ask, what makes Zelda Breath of the Wild so special? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to episode 27 of Trust Circle. I am your host, as always, for the 27th time. That's not true, actually. 26th time. There were two I missed. I'm Devin Valdivia. I'm your host most of the time. I am joined, like most of the time, by my wife, Valerie.
Mostly.
And our returning sole perfect attendance recordee, TopShelfGaming.net's founder, co-founder, editor-in-chief, crazy person and stutterer, and spaghetti, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
See, I thought if I called it out beforehand, it would just throw you off and you wouldn't do it. But nope.
It just gives me strength.
I will have to try new tactics. Well, 27. I don't have a fun, like, number, word, lame joke.
That's the age when rock stars die.
There you go. This is the one we're all going to die after.
We're not rock stars.
I'm a rock star.
I've played a rock band. God. I have performed music multiple times on a stage for a crowd of probably around 400.
That's a lot of people.
So does that count?
That's where you're playing rock music?
Sure, yeah. There were drums and I was playing guitar.
He's a rock star, Valerie.
Oh gosh.
So I'm going to die after this. You guys are fine. It's been good.
I'm a rock star, actually.
It's been a good run. You're a rock star. Why? Why? I can't wait. Why?
Look at me. I've got the hair. I've got the beard. I've
got the bod.
I've got the bod. When you're staring at a demigod.
You're welcome.
So, okay. You know, that came out today.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, it came out digitally, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm. But now we can own it.
You can own
when
it
does
for
your
real.
Vinyl come out? It. Your vinyl, so, vinyl record.
You know, I don't want to talk about it, but it's in April.
Oh, that's so far.
Yeah.
Well, it's been another week. Marcus is just chugging his beverage.
I'm taking sips.
Marcus is taking gulps of wine.
They're sips.
Sips for
there's
who?
there's two gulps worth in this glass. So if I was taking gulps, I would be done.
What about slugs? We used to use that word a lot. Like take a slug. It's like a gulp.
I don't think that's what that word means.
I don't like
I've
that.
Used that since I was, like, a babby.
You also say kippy cap.
So do you. I got that from you. Oh, my God. Marcus, close your ears.
Called
listeners.
Out.
Listeners.
Out.
Turn your heads away from your earbuds.
Let's just divert this whole entire thing and get back to our podcast. How's it going, you guys?
It's been a big week, Devin.
For some people.
For me, it's been a huge week.
It's been a decent week for you.
It's been huge.
Life-changing week.
You keep saying this.
My life has changed.
Well, sure. Technically, your life has changed constantly by everything.
Devin, you like to do that.
Hey, Science Mike.
No, my name is Realist Devin.
His name is Pessimist Party Pooper Party Foul. Pevin.
Pevin.
That's what they call me.
Pevin. Pevin the Pessimist.
Well, how was your week, Marcus?
Well, the Nintendo Switch came out.
Oh, did it now? I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. Zelda also came out. Pretty dope. Wow.
I'm pretty sure that came out. That's my stomach doing crazy
the
things, audience.
The microphone picked that up?
It's coming from the headphones.
So Devin's stomach has just been vamping all week. Anyways, continue, Marcus.
Let stomach host.
Mm-hmm.
My life has been consumed by job stuff and also by Zelda stuff. And managing those two things...
is pretty straightforward.
Should be. Should be. I've been making questionable choices in regards to... Zelda playing and my life living. I've neglected several responsibilities since it's come out. But it's been treating me so nicely.
You know? So it sounds like video games are a problem that we need to just start banning and getting rid of.
Maybe. I realized that, like, so, Valerie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you two will talk about this during your recaps, but...
Our debriefs.
But I joined you in D&D, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the real story here.
Yeah, we got Marcus.
That's what I want to talk about.
We got Marcus in the same room as D&D.
Yeah. I wasn't playing. I was playing my Switch. I was in my own fantasy world.
Marcus's corporeal form was there, but alas, his mind was not.
And I felt so terrible for, like, being that guy. But it was just like...
not enough to do otherwise.
But not enough. Well, it was like, it's a brand new console launch. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge thing for gamers. Okay. Well, it's a huge thing for most gamers besides Devin, who doesn't care about console launches. And also Valerie's, your sister, was visiting.
She was.
I haven't seen her since...
And you still haven't.
Since you got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, this will be a good time to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're the hero of time trying to save Hyrule, sometimes, like, your responsibilities as the hero of humanity and all of its creatures takes precedence over catching up with people. So, I feel bad because I was excited to see her, but I, like, didn't talk to her at all. And we went to D&D.
We did.
And I met your friends, but I didn't talk to them at all. And I was that antisocial guy who was just doing his own thing.
They said you're welcome back anytime. That's so, they good. Didn't, like...
They didn't say the Switch was, however.
He can leave the Switch.
He can leave his toy at home.
Yeah. Actually... I really liked your coworker, good old H-Man.
The Hair Bear.
Hair Bear, yeah. I would go back, if not just for him.
Good. Because we're going to drag you kicking and screaming back one of these days.
Okay.
Not kicking and switching.
So I'm assuming that's basically been your life since Friday.
Yes.
So nothing,
but
nothing quite to report yet.
But even to the point of getting it, like, it's just been an emotional journey that started Thursday of trying to get my Switches. I got multiple, trying to get Zeldas. Mm-hmm. I got multiple copies. And just the shenanigans of, like, going to different stores and waiting in line. And giving up my tickets to strangers, and then them miscounting their stock and having to turn people down, and all this, like, drama.
Jeez.
But it all worked out. Having things sent to the wrong address, all this, like, craziness. But we're here, and it's been good. And I realized that the Switch is doing everything that I expected it to do. And it's just this, like, game machine. It doesn't really do anything else. Like, it doesn't do Netflix. It doesn't... Mm-hmm. It just, like, plays games. And that's totally okay with me. So I've brought it with me. I've been bringing it with me to work every day. And... I mean, yesterday I had to, like, randomly go to the Social Security office.
Hey, I did that the other week.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not very fun, is it?
It was actually surprisingly fast.
Oh.
I was in and out in, like, half an hour, 15 minutes.
I was like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But I had my Switch.
Yeah.
And I could just play it. Mm-hmm. And then the security guard... sees me walk in. I have it in my case, and the security guard I was like, he's going to, like, give me crap for, yeah, like, for bringing this thing in. And then he was like, is that the Zelda logo? I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, that's so cool. Like I haven't played Zelda since I was a kid. Uh-huh. And so I, like, told him about the Switch. He's like, wow. Like that's awesome. Uh-huh. And then I sat down. And then this kid comes in with his mom. Uh-huh. He's like, Mom, he's playing the Nintendo Switch. And then his mom's like, shh, whatever. But, like, I realized because
I bought... And so then you, like, you showed it to him and I was like, hey, look, check it out. Like, here's this cool thing. And I heard you, like, asking about it. So let me just, like, show it to you.
So...
Like a cool adult.
I would have, but I got called in. Mm-hmm. But, well... And... I realized that, like, it's such a great opportunity where, like, because I bought this two-player puzzle game called Snipper Clips. Mm-hmm. And that would have been, like, the perfect thing to just, like, meet this stranger and just be able to...
Like the commercials. You could have gone to the rooftop. It would have been a great time.
Like, it could have literally been like that. And it's cool that this console just, like, allows you to just, like, detach part of it and give it to someone else
and then run off with,
and then you're just to just,
and then you're down one,
yeah,
and you're like, I can, I guess I'm just looking around everywhere.
Yeah, you have a fiddle cube, congratulations.
No more moving for Link. He's just a tree in the ground.
Yep.
Monsters, come to me, come on Ganon.
But, like, I mean, think of just how cool that is, that, like, at all times I just have a second controller that I could just pass to, you know, someone else and just play games with.
I mean, it's a neat idea. I mean, it like we've talked about in the past, it'll depend on the kinds of games that they have that actually makes that, you know, a viable option. But
mm-hmm. But I mean, from what they've showed, there's, like, plenty of those games that I would happily share with, like, others.
We'll see.
Okay, well, I can show you a list right now, but we can also move on.
We can. Well, so we'll come back to the Switch and Zelda a little bit later. But Valerie, tell us about your week and all the video games that you bought.
I bought none video games.
What?
Surprise!
This is a video game podcast, Valerie. What a twist.
I know. Who let me in? Bouncer. Get your act together.
They'll just let anyone in these days.
I did not play any video games apart from... We tried playing TKO... of the Jackbox set with my sister, yeah, again, with moderate success.
It's not a good three player game.
I know, you need like five. Yeah. But.
Because you're like,
well, she insisted.
She insisted on it. I was like, Valerie, it's going to be whatever.
Yeah.
But.
It's like, you can all tell who drew what to. And it's...
Yeah, but like that's the thing. Like, there's only like so many options.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That, like, oh, like, okay, you did this, I did this. And like, when you're mixing and matching, like, the pictures and the phrases, it's like, oh, I'm just going to pick the ones that use the two things that I made. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it was just kind of a weird thing. Game is still great. It's just, you just need a bigger crowd
more
for it.
More people.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about the time we tried to play it between the two of us. We pulled out my iPad.
Dude, I wanted to play it again because I wanted to see the graphics. I love the graphics.
Yeah. Two players across three devices. Even less fun, surprisingly, than with just three actual people.
Surprisingly. I know you're shocked that that's less fun, but... Yeah. Well, you know, it was fun. And not surprisingly so, we saw Logan last night.
Logan?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Logan? He sounds like that jerk from third grade who just, like, always steals my lunch.
Well, I can't vouch for third grade. Because I wasn't there.
Very lonely time.
This Logan is the Wolverine Logan.
Hmm.
The movie that just came out.
How was it?
It was really, really good.
Was it?
Really good.
Was it rated R? Was it, like, violent, like Deadpool?
It was more violent than Deadpool in a different way.
Okay.
More serious violence. Like, Deadpool was the kind of violence where you're like, ha 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 ha. Yeah. Like, when the... I won't go into gruesome details. But this violence was more like, oh.
Okay. Yeah.
But they, I mean, that was definitely an intentional choice on their part in order to flesh out the character of Wolverine, and how just like just takes no prisoners he's become.
Because he's like old man Wolverine now.
He is, yeah. They base it on that comic.
Okay.
Funny enough, yeah. But we thought it was really good.
Yeah.
It was like the most like adult superhero movie that I think I've seen to date.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this is actually a good movie, not just like, I guess that was all right.
Yeah. That's what I've been hearing. It's just very mature. Very mature. And just, like, it progresses. I don't know. It's more of a standalone thing. Like it doesn't have to exist in the MCU. It can just be its own thing and just survive on its own storytelling and not the gimmicks of it just being this, like, over budget.
Yeah. And, like, tonally, like, visually, like, it's totally... It looks like it makes efforts to be standalone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all, like, shiny, you know, chrome, stainless steel, there's like, smooth look. Camera movement. Yeah. It's, like, all gritty, and it's all... Everyone's all downtrodden, and everyone looks terrible, and, like, they need sleep, and it's not, like... It doesn't have, like, you know, the swelling Marvel soundtrack, and, you know... And the effects are minimal, so it's kind of a foil to what we know as the MCU, but
that's
enjoyably
cool.
So. Yeah.
And I wonder too, like, if it wasn't for, you know, those like mainline Marvel films to compare it with, if it would have that much of an impact to it.
It probably wouldn't feel like such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Without.
A breath
those
of
preceding
gloomy,
it. Yeah.
Gloomy fresh air.
Breath of dank cigar air. Yeah.
That did it?
I mean, I was looking for you. Do you wanna add any hot takes? Hot takes of Logan?
No, I mean, this plane apparently does. Hi, plane. What'd you think of Logan? I thought it was good.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. No, I liked Logan a lot. I think I've been comparing it to, you know, obviously to Deadpool, because those are the two rated R superhero movies that Marvel's put out. And I kind of feel like in a way even Logan earns its R rating more than Deadpool does. I think part of it is that I know more about Wolverine than I do about Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, there is this version of Deadpool that I think could exist in a PG-13 scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say I wish that Deadpool had been PG-13. I just think that they could have done it. But we've been seeing PG-13 Wolverine movies for a long time.
Eight of them.
That's so many.
And they've never really captured Wolverine. I watched X-Men Apocalypse this afternoon because it was on HBO Go. And there's, you know, there's like one scene with him in it. And like, having seen seeing that scene after seeing Logan last night, it's just like the whole tone, the whole like feeling of that character is just completely different.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're talking about an angry guy who is hundreds of years old, who has knives for fingers. Like, there's no really like,
and nothing to live for.
And nothing to live for. Like, there's no way of portraying that in any other way than dark and gritty. That being said, this movie, while very violent, isn't violent for violence' sake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anything, that R rating lets them tell a really mature story. I think maybe that more than anything is why I think it earns that R rating. It is very, very, very violent. But it's not... It's not only violent. The characters are very mature, and there's a lot of subtlety in their characterization. There's a lot of subtlety in the plot, and there's a lot of details that are hinted at, but not just expressly, like, just given out like you would in a movie targeted towards younger audiences who may not be, you know, as perceptive of more nuanced storytelling and narrative structures.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think having the R rating, let them be as violent as I think Wolverine movie needs to be at times, but also for them to tell, like, a really good, mature, adult film story, not just, like, a superhero story.
Mm-hmm.
in my hot take on Facebook, I stressed again, like, this is not a movie to bring kids to. There were, like, at least 4 kids that I saw in our theater that
it's were... like, why?
Like, the first word in this movie is the F word. There's a fair amount of cussing in this movie, but it's not laden.
It's like Deadpool.
Naturalistic cussing, let's say.
A bunch of angry people saying angry stuff. But in my Facebook hot take, I mentioned, and I still think I think this, even though after, this is my cooler take, but I think I stand by it. Like, I feel like Deadpool is almost more appropriate for younger audiences. If you were to, if you had to bring a kid for some reason to one of these two movies, like, I would feel more comfortable being like, okay, guy, let's go watch Deadpool more than Logan.
Come on, Brandon.
And the reason is that, like, a lot of Deadpool's violence and its R rating is humor. Like, a lot of his violence is for the sake of humor. A lot of its mature status is from, like, very inappropriate sexual jokes. And a lot of that might go unnoticed by a younger audience. Whereas with Logan, like, the whole tone is just, like, just down and just, like, in your face. And the violence is much more visceral. And so we're, you know, Deadpool cutting off his hand to escape through the handcuffs, like, that's a gag.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different from Logan stabbing a man through the back of the skull and you seeing it, like, come out through his face. Like, you can't... There's no ambiguity there.
Yeah.
So it definitely feels more raw. And for me, personally, more inappropriate for younger audiences. But that's just me. I thought Logan was great. I think it's a perfect standalone movie.
Arguably. You could say that the characters are better... It would be better... a better influence on younger audiences than the characters in Deadpool.
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely.
In terms of, like, morality, I guess, or responsibility, or things like that.
The story and the arc the characters go through, you know, like, as dark as those characters are, like, there's, you know, there's redemption, there's hope, and there's loss, and there's, like, the message of that story, I think, has value. Deadpool is for fun.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's totally fine.
Maybe I just recommend Logan for all humans more than Deadpool.
Yeah. And we both like Deadpool.
Yeah. I mean, for Deadpool's fine. I have fun.
All that being said, there's a preview for Deadpool before the movie, and it's more Deadpool. But no, it's really good. I mean, you could go and not knowing what the X-Men were and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like Unbreakable. I think we talked about that maybe in the podcast before. That old Bruce Willis movie with Sam Jackson, with Bruce Willis as the superhero. It's a M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Okay.
It was before he went bad. It's a good movie. See, it's kind of weird, but that's a movie where, you know, it wasn't based off anything, and so it just existed as its own movie. And this feels more like that than Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Or it's like, why is there a baby tree? I don't know. Also, Valerie, are we gonna air this? Do you feel comfortable airing our opinion?
I guess. I stand by it. I don't know.
I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 looks good.
Everyone's like, oh my god, baby Groot. And I'm like, I don't care.
All of the previews I've seen for that movie have made me completely just, like, I can't say I actively dislike what I've seen, but I'm just so neutral, and I'm getting real tired of seeing Baby Groot.
But Baby Groot's the moneymaker.
I know, but it's just like, it's like they have like one joke, and it's like he's not even like, okay, sorry everyone, he's not even that cute. sorry.
My mom is gonna murder you.
Sorry, so, Mama Marcus.
Here's the thing for me: I think he's cute, but I think he's very generic. He's very generic looking. Like with Groot, he was like a fun, big, like tree, like. Not the most unique of creature design, but you don't very often see big giant trees walking through space. This is just like, oh, he's a little cute minion boy.
It looks like they took like a 3D scan of the Funko Pop Groot.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. He looks like a Funko Pop, and I can't stand Funko Pops. You cracked the case.
Cracked it.
But I don't know. I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy when it came out. I think at that time, it too felt like a breath of fresh air in the Marvel Universe.
Because it was like, here's something that's silly and colorful and not all self-serious.
It wasn't Captain America.
Yeah.
But But man, those previews just feel like they're trying too hard.
And see, the thing I was saying to Devin last night that I liked about Logan was that the plot did not revolve around some device that's going to blow up the universe or end the universe or...
It was like a very grounded story.
Yeah, it was like the...
Be careful with the plot.
I'm doing it non-spoiler. It was something that like... The goal of these characters was something that a real person could do.
Mm-hmm.
Superheroics notwithstanding. It wasn't like, oh, the fate of the universe is on your shoulders. And so, it's funny because in movies where the stakes are that, the stakes feel small.
Yeah.
Because you know it's not going to happen. Yeah. You know it's not going to happen. I didn't know it was going to happen, Logan. The mission of the protagonist might not come to fruition. Because it was so achievable. It might not happen.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if this is the result of video games becoming more mainstream.
Oh, it definitely
or
is.
With creators now having, you know, grown up with video games. A lot of possibly unintentional, but I feel like almost certainly in some cases intentional. Not callbacks or references, but just like very much like similar tones to, I mean, clearly The Last of Us is the one, you know, from the first trailer, everyone was saying that. Also Max Payne 3, in very specific ways.
Bullet time?
Yeah, he did just bullet on the whole movie.
It's... The movie takes place over 30 seconds, but it's just all slow motion.
And then Logan shaves his head halfway through. It's a whole thing. No, and like for me, like that's cool to see. It's really nice to see, you know, games like the media I am most interested in more and more overflowing into, you know, books, TV shows, movies, and you know, real stuff. And I'm gonna be interested to see how that, or if that increases as the years go on.
I know they're coming out with this with this brand new reality show now.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Real Housewives of New Vegas, and it's probably gonna be pretty good. It looks pretty good.
Okay, it's probably time for us to take a break with that. So when we come back, we're going to let Marcus go back to Nintendo Land, and we're going to talk some games. So go pee. We will. Good in my head. All right. We started with it, and we're finishing with it. Because, like it or not, the Switch is new. Mm. The Switch is real. The Switch is here.
It exists.
It exists, and with it exists Zelda, and apparently all of my naysaying back when we had Evan on here, and I was breaking your guys' dreams in half with all my... What's the word? Pessimism. There it is. About Pevin. About what Zelda may or may not be able to do. Seems unfounded because it seems like the entire world is losing their minds over this game.
This is like when people started playing Overwatch and just like everyone was talking about it. That's like this year. Like this is that game this year so far.
And it's kind of crazy that Nintendo's first attempt at a large open world game of this size has not only come out and been, you know, praised as being a good, fully functioning game on a brand new system, but that it's actually managed to pretty much across the board take away at least a part of the spotlight that Horizons received, which is the other very highly anticipated large open world console exclusive game that came out like a week before Zelda did?
3 days.
That's right, the Tuesday before. So Horizon is Sony's exclusive robot, dinosaur, redhead, girl, archer, open world save the Earth slash who knows what else game.
Literally, on paper, that sounds like like totally my type of game. Nothing could ever top that except one thing. And that one thing came out 3 days later.
Yeah. And so I've been playing Horizon. You've been playing Horizon a little bit. You played it for about 20 minutes before Zelda came out.
I played it. I probably got like 5 to 7 hours in. So I, you know, I put some decent time in, loved it. I completely enjoyed it. I just don't know when I'll get back to it, but like, it is a game that I do want to revisit and, and I do want to get lost in.
Yeah. I got it, at release. Hi there. Stomach still wants a, spot in the podcast. We have a fourth
It's not
number.
Your turn, Stomach.
I've been playing it. I've been enjoying it a lot. But I wanted to take time today to kind of talk about these two games because while Horizon is very good, it seems to be a very good version of what we expected it to be, whereas Zelda seems to be sort of defying a lot of expectations for not just what this game is going to be, but even really like what open world games can do. And so I wanted to kind of compare and contrast that. Before we do, Valerie, it's time for a song.
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for the word of the week.
And now, it's time for a word.
My word is Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Or just go, Rah!
Just yell.
Just yelling.
Or PewDiePie.
No, it's two podcasts ago, Marcus. Never again.
You can't do that one.
Was that really 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I think so.
Wow, time flies.
Sure does.
Time flies when you're PewDiePie.
It's probably crawling for him right now. All right. So, Valerie, just yell Hugh Jackman if you need a hand or a claw.
Okay. She does need one. So just continually be saying...
Let's do that.
Yeah. So I wanted to run down a couple of, you know, just main ideas that about Horizon and Zelda and just kind of talk about them. I am really liking Horizon. I'm really liking the story. And I think the story is kind of influencing a lot of what else I like about the game. It's still too new to talk about all that, I think. So we will not get too far into that. But let's start by just setting up what, like, the overarching... like narrative hooks are for both of these games.
Okay.
So Horizon, you play a girl named Aloy. It's the future, but it's like the past because something real bad happened and now humanity is like back to being very tribal and there's robot dinosaurs. You don't really know what's happening. You have been raised as an outcast from your tribe by another outcast. And then stuff happens. You get sent out. You get sent back in your tribe, and you get sent on a quest to figure out where you came from, why you were an outcast at birth, and why the world is the way it is. And that's the setup for the game. Pretty standard story hook. You know, you're special. Find out why.
Yeah,
that's sort of the reason. I think the world is unique in that it's like. Future
mixed with it's like technology continues to advance but like humanity has like reverted and so there's this weird contrast.
Yeah, it's sort of Mad Maxy in that way except even like further back.
Yeah.
And the narrative grows from there. It does some cool stuff, but that's the main hook. What is the main story hook from the beginning in Zelda?
The main story hook is admittedly a little isolating. So the main, like, that hook is that it's a Zelda game through and through. Like, it's a very Zelda storyline. If, like, this is your first Zelda game, it's a fantastic first Zelda game. But story-wise...
What does a very Zelda storyline mean?
So... the cool thing So Zelda lore, basically, and I love that you asked that. So there's, do you know what a Triforce is?
No, it's three triangles.
Yeah. That's about so it. You recognize that, you know, symbol. But here's what it actually means.
Okay.
So the Triforce in the Zelda universe is this great power. It's like the ultimate power, and it keeps balance of the world. And it exists in three parts. There's power, there's wisdom, and there's courage. And it's maintained, and when all of those three parts are together, there's balance in the world. You find out that that world is in this continual cycle where there's this evil, this ancient evil, known as Ganon, that always manifests to try to take the Triforce for himself. He always claims the Triforce of power, and then tries to get the other two pieces. And so that's every Zelda game is based off of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so to stop Ganon, there's always, like, whenever Ganon's evil rises up, there's always an incarnation of Link, who is the pointy-eared boy, who needs to defeat Ganon alongside an incarnation of Princess Zelda. And so it's this recurring cycle where Link and Zelda have to defeat Ganon, and then they defeat him, but Ganon will always come back. Like, no matter how many times, this evil can't die. And so, in that way, this game is just that same story. There's a brand new incarnation of Ganon, but then there are, but then Zelda and Link are reincarnated to stop him. And in this game, it does it very differently, but it's that same story. So if you're a Zelda fan, this is very comforting because it's like what you want. It's, you know, what you know. It's what you love about this series. But if you're not a Zelda fan, it's kind of a whatever story. It's just good versus evil. The good guys are destined to beat the bad guys. And so there's really no stake. It's like what you were talking about earlier. If it's like that threat of the whole world is going to end, you always know that that they're going to prevail.
Yeah, you know it's gonna not end.
Yeah. So from that end, like, that hook, I think, is only there for Zelda fans. But that's why, like, I'm totally into it.
Nice.
All right. So off the bat, we have two stories that, at their outset at least, are interesting, but fairly expected, fairly normal, fairly familiar. I think from here we start seeing some differences, and I think, hopefully, if you can remain cognizant enough to explain it in a way that doesn't, you know, just turn into tears of happiness. I think we can see kind of what's making people freak out the way that you are about this game, and why I am enjoying Horizon, but maybe, you know, I don't feel the way you do about Zelda, the way it, you know, that's not my opinion of Horizon. So let's talk about the aesthetics. Horizon is a very good looking video game. It is very colorful. It is very detailed. The world pretty big,
very photo real.
Very photo real. The animation's pretty good. The when you're talking to characters, the mouth movements can
the
get
the faces can kinda, get a little weird sometimes.
They range from really good to sort of
to
horrifying,
very creepy.
But as good as it looks, it's, again, what I've come to expect video games to look like.
Mm-hmm.
It is a photoreal, shiny, very, you know, over the top, nice, pretty lighting. And it's one of the best looking games I've ever played.
Yeah.
But I've also played Uncharted 4, which I think is still the best looking game I have ever played.
Really?
You know, from that level of photo real.
Yeah, okay.
I
agree with that then.
Yeah, like that's the most photo real. So, and so as exotic as some of the characters, and especially the robot dinosaurs you fight can be, it's a very good photo real looking video game.
Yeah.
Totally fine. I'm digging it. However, what's Zelda looking like?
Zelda, it's got a kind of cartoony look. It looks very anime.
It reminds me of cel shading.
Yeah, yeah. And
like with the Kirby show.
And it is cel shaded, meaning that, like, how would you even describe it?
I mean, if you've played Wind Waker, it's mostly that style.
Yeah.
It's
like Wind Waker mixed with Skyward Sword. These don't mean anything unless you've...
I mean, it looks like everything's made out of like.
Yeah, so that's what the artist who doesn't play video games describe it. It looks
like everything's made out of like sugar. Mm. Everything's like a little bit soft and a little bit transparent, but also kind of chunky.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a pretty good way to describe it. And it's just very stylized. I think one thing I noticed was the character design. One of the reasons why Wind Waker resonated so much with me was because the characters, especially Link, was so expressive. Mm-hmm. Where in all the other games, his face was like very stiff. He wasn't
able
to like really move it much. And he had like one expression, and that was just stoic. But in this game, all of the characters, like, because their faces are so cartoony, like, they can get so just animated and just, if, like, someone's angry, you, like, see that anger. If someone's crying, if someone's happy, they have this, like, real sense of joy. Just so expressive, and it's so alive, and it's very stylized. It feels like if, like, Studio Ghibli...
Mm-hmm.
made a video game, this is what it would look
like. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of those comparisons, and I think that's, you know, might not be as apparent to someone who doesn't play video games as much, but you don't often get that level of expression in open world games.
Yeah,
because they are so large, because there's so much happening. You know, it's more the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
than the individual parts. And so, you know, I think Horizon's a very good example of that. Compared to Uncharted 4, which is not open world, the characters there are photoreal and very, very expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Their postures, the subtle faces, facial expressions you get.
Are you talking about Uncharted?
Uncharted. Yeah. That's all there and very, very good because the levels that you're in are contained and they're managed. Horizon being open world and the world is all around you at all times... you're more just kind of getting the gist because there's so much of it at once. The characters will kind of move, and every now and then you'll get like a good, like, you know, a good wrinkle of the brow.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some good details, but they're not unique.
Yeah.
You'll see all the characters kind of make the same sort of, like, you know, they'll all kind of furrow their brow, but they're all furrow their brow the same way. they're all just kind of stand there with very little movement, during conversations. The monsters are very well animated.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that, but there's also like 8 or 10 or so of them. So again,
animations, you mean?
Monster types.
Okay.
And so again, it's this idea that there's not actually a huge variety, but there's a large quantity of it.
Yeah.
So something like Grand Theft Auto is another example where they do really well with what they have, but, you know, a pedestrian is a pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't feel fully unique.
Yeah.
Whereas with Zelda, with what I've seen from Zelda, there are a ton of different enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they all feel very special. And even just the animations that Link has with, you know, his different, when if he's cold, he shivers.
Yeah.
If he's tired, you know, you can see that. You can see the sweat flying off him as he runs. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, his different climbing animations, the different way he dodges, the way you can strafe on horses.
What the Hugh Jackman is strafe?
Sidestepping.
That's when you dressage?
It's just sidestepping. It's not specific to horses. It's just a movement.
Strafe?
Yeah.
Can I strafe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a video game term.
I'm going to model it for you.
Yeah, here we go.
Marcus is standing up. Marcus is...
strafing.
Crab walking sideways.
He's strafing. That's strafing.
You're just moving side to side.
I learned a new word.
And so it's kind of crazy to see that level of character and animation detail across the board.
Yeah.
In a game that... we'll get to it maybe a little bit later. The world's really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really, really large world.
It's huge. Jackman.
And so, you know, I haven't played the game yet, and so I don't really fully, you know what it feels like. But I'm still a little bit confused how this game is fitting on that SD card.
It's huge.
It's like a 30 gig game. Like, it's not, it's big, but it's not humongous.
Yeah.
And so it's technically, it kind of boggles my mind a little bit. But I think, you know, even Valerie, you know, you, as pretty as you think Horizon is, and you've commented on it, mm-hmm. you know, if we had to pick and choose, I would rather look at Zelda art than Horizon art.
I, in most cases, would rather look at something that's
artistic,
stylized, and less realistic than something that's less stylized and more hyper-realistic. Yeah. Just because I don't really like hyper-realism.
No, that's true, you don't.
I super don't.
And that's not to say that Horizon isn't artistic. The creative direction is very, very strong.
Yeah, it is.
But it just looks like real life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
If I want to look at faces where I can see individual nose hairs, I'll look at
just my open own my reflection. Eyes. Yeah. So let's move on now to the structures of the games. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably the biggest departure.
Yeah.
It's familiar, but not too familiar.
Hey, good girls. Do you want to just say, hey, I want...
Is that really... Hey, good girls?
Yeah.
Hey, good girls. That's what they were saying.
It's a weird song.
Oh, okay.
So the structure of Horizon. You are trying to figure out where you came from, what happened to the world. And so there are main story missions that you go here, do a mission that gives you a new marker on your map to go to the next story mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your main story. Outside of that, there are lots of side activities all throughout the map. And so you can, there's like three or four collectibles you can kind of search and find. You are participating in like little hunting challenges.
Those are fun, by the way.
I have not started them yet, as you saw. I just kind of started bulldozing through the story. There are people you meet in towns that you go to, or just on the road that will have, you know, like, oh, like my brother's missing. Help, please help find him.
Yeah.
And then you go do investigations, and those are just kind of distractions to help you, you know, level up and get more money to buy better equipment while you're on the way to the main story mission, and just to kind of mix things up. But really, you have a pretty clear path of what you're doing at any given time.
Yeah.
You have your next major story point, go here, do this thing, and then you're going to go. And that's, I mean, I think when people think of video games, that's what they think of.
Yeah.
You know, if it's either that or, you know, you're playing levels 1 through 10 with your 5 lives, which isn't a thing anymore. This isn't a thing. But it's straightforward. Pretty well done.
Yeah.
Straightforward. Here is where Zelda does something crazy.
So, Horizon, like you said, like I feel like you play Horizon, and this is what you were telling me. Like, you are invested in the story. You want to know what happens next, and you're basically playing to get to that next story point.
Yes, very much so.
For Zelda, it tells you up front, like, your first quest, or, like, quest number 2 is defeat Ganon.
Easy peasy.
It's like, okay, this is what your goal is. You need to defeat Ganon. It's like in your quest log, like with the same priority of like every other quest. That just, it's just like
defeat and do all it. This, and then I don't know, defeat Ganon if you want to. I don't know, yeah. Whatever.
And like so, you know from the outset, like this is what the story is.
This is where you're going.
You are Link. Your goal is to defeat Ganon, and then that's the extent of the story, really. Of course, there's twists and turns along the way, but it's not about that. It's about the adventure. It's about exploring, and so really, Zelda is just like the story is an excuse to just get you playing it, but the story is not the goal. The goal is to discover this world. It tells you that there's four dungeons that you have to beat, and then once you beat that, you'll be strong enough to beat Ganon, and so you can go to those dungeons in whatever order you want to, or you could just go straight to Ganon's castle and just fight him without any upgrades, without any special weapons or any special armor, and just try to fight him straight from the start. Or you can do everything else and like buff yourself up. But Nintendo has created this huge giant world. I don't know if I've ever played a game with a world this big, and I've spent most of my time just like getting distracted and just looking at things, and it's and that's really what this game is just climbing up to some high place, looking through your telescope for something cool to do or something that looks interesting, and then figuring out how to go there. That's it.
It's the on paper. And when I first heard, like, that was the structure, like, that sounds like one of two things. Either one, just very boring, or two, directionless, to the point of just, like, I don't know what to do. But the moment I heard that you can go face Ganon whenever you want, that sort of suddenly, like, just made it all make sense in my head. And then just, you know, with the idea of it being a Zelda game and that idea of, you know, you are Zelda. You are Zelda. You are.
That is the cardinal sin.
I did the thing. Oh God. Like, you are Link. You are saving Zelda, and you do so by going on an adventure.
Yeah.
Like, you go on your adventure, and this game is the purest form of that. You know you need to defeat Ganon. Do it.
Yep.
If that's you, just going straight to it and just bashing yourself against it until you succeed. That's your adventure. If you go and you want to find every single weapon and armor that you need so that you are as powerful as you could possibly be to go, you know, just swat them away like a fly,
yeah,
that's your adventure. And when I put it in those terms, it sounds a lot more freeing. And games have done that, something they've tried to do that before. I thought of Shadow of Mordor. Which, by the time you're hearing this, I think there should be a gameplay trailer for the new one.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Door.
And they kind of did that with, like, your goal is just to take over all these orcs. But I had to do all of that before I got to the end of the game.
Yeah.
So it felt sort of manufactured. It was like, I knew what the end goal was from the beginning, but I had to go through all the steps and check off all the boxes before getting there. And so while there was that sense of, you know, this is your one goal, you're going to work towards this goal, everything you do is going to work towards this goal, it still robbed me of that freedom of choosing, like, my preparedness, my...
It felt kind of like a chore.
Yes, but then
because every time you failed, it distanced itself from you.
Yes.
Which ultimately made it... somewhat tedious.
The end game of Shadow of Mordor is really disappointing. but no, so the idea of Breath of the Wild giving you that final goal and then allowing you to do that whenever you feel ready, whenever you as Link feel that you are strong enough, brave enough, courageous enough to do the thing, complete the task, like that suddenly makes this world make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have so many options available to me. What am I going to do with my time? How am I going to prepare? And really, it reminds me of D&D. I remember when we first started playing D&D, Valerie, and our DM was just like, you're in this town. What do you want to do? Like, our end goal is to figure out what this person's doing here and why this is happening.
Yeah.
And we know, like, the location where we need to go to do that. But what do we want to do? Are we ready? Do we want to talk to people? Do we want to go do this other thing first so that we get a more powerful item that makes us more equipped? And we could have done anything.
Were you surprised by how open-ended that was?
Yes. It's terrifying. Because I'm used to playing games that are open world, but still I have those steps to check off. The last area, or I think is the last area of Horizon, you see within the first hour of the game. It's part of like the intro of the story.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't go back there and figure out what that is until I go through everything else the game has to show me. You know, Grand Theft Auto, you have the world, and the big thing with GTA 5 was the whole world is open from the start. Usually, like, you know, they gate off parts of it and open up gradually. The big thing was, oh, you can go anywhere you want, but there's nothing to do out there until you reach certain points, and then things become available, things are unlocked, you have the ability to then interact with that world.
Yeah.
With Zelda, it's all there.
It's literally there. Like, so there's the tutorial section, which is still this like big open world, where it like lets you do what you want, but like everything that you encounter, like, you know, everything is like at your level, so all the enemies aren't like terribly threatening.
Training wheels.
Yeah, training wheels. But then you get to that point where it teaches you how to do everything you're going to be doing for the rest of the game. And then all bets are off and the world just opens up, and now you're able to access just like challenges that like you just literally aren't ready for. And like you can beat them if like you're super patient and like playing perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like I encountered this thing, this like giant monster that just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I was just wandering, and like there was no way I could beat him. Like, and I tried going to Ganon's castle with my 3 hearts and without any armor. And
just to see?
Yeah.
Just to see him.
Like, I like tried just to make it. Door. I tried, and like I couldn't even get through the courtyard because it was so heavily guarded, and like, so, but like I know it's possible, and I know people who are better than me and smarter than me are going to figure out how.
Oh yeah.
But like I tried doing it and I failed, so I was like, okay, like I want to get stronger first, and then I'm gonna go back, and then I'm gonna kick his butt. And it's just like amazing that this world just gives you the freedom to just go anywhere. And I've probably done 2 story quests, but I played for 20 hours, and I've just been exploring.
It's not nothing.
Yeah,
it's not nothing. Yeah.
And that's with like a very busy weekend too, of like working every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I haven't had a day off work since Zelda came out, and I've still like put like so much time in. And I don't know. It's something I can't explain why it feels so good.
I mean, I won't know until I actually finally, you know, put my hands on the thing, but I really like the idea of it just letting you exist, because it makes you feel like you're the hero of time. You're Link. You are the hero, but it makes it feel like the world isn't happening around you. It makes you feel like the world is just happening.
And you're in it.
And you're in it.
Yeah.
Like, the world isn't molding itself to fit you, like most video games are. You, like, the world is happening before you woke up, and it's continuing to exist. And what you choose to do is all good.
And that plays out in a ton of ways, too. Mm-hmm. Like, even from the like, weather system, like, whenever it rains, all of the mountains or, like, any climbable surface becomes really slippery. And so there have been times when I'm climbing this huge mountain and I'm, like, halfway through.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, at the point of... the point of no return, and then it just starts raining, and I'm just like, well, I'm dead. Like, there's nothing I can do about
even
it.
Even the idea that you can just climb stuff.
Yeah.
That you can just climb stuff. Because video games don't do that.
No.
Horizon, you can climb things if they're yellow, or if they have that little mark on them.
Yeah.
Then you know you can climb those things. You can sort of fake jump things, which is more than what a lot of games do.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of Skyrim jump off up stuff that you're not supposed to get up to, which is neat, but, like, you are limited by, you know, is it yellow? Nope. Then you're not going to grab that ledge. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But there are even moments in Horizon where you are free to engage with enemies that are beyond your capacity. Mm-hmm. I had a moment where, you know, I was in a place and this terrifying thing popped out of the ground and started attacking. I was like, I can't do that. I was using all my weapons and doing nothing to it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't do this. But I knew that if I just walked away, played a couple more story missions, it'd probably lead me right back to the spot, and it would be part of the story missions. And sure enough, like, it was a side mission, but, like, you know, I talked to a dude. He said, go here. It had, like, a specific level number on there, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm, like, 3 levels away. Come back and deal with it. Like, yeah. And so it felt like it was... the moment at first felt natural and fluid, but then... it became a video game. It reminded me, oh, no, don't worry. Like, we'll make sure you're ready when you get here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I expect video games to do, but that's not what Zelda does. And for me, that's what makes it sound so special. Because it's just putting you in a place and letting you be in that place. And it's not concerned with how you achieve your goal. It's just telling you to do it.
And there's no hand-holding.
No, and I think for someone, you know, for Valerie, like, how much of what Zelda is doing differently coming across to you?
The scale, I mean, definitely sounds impressive, but having not played the other games, I don't have, like, obviously a complete frame of reference, but... from what it sounds like, you have a lot more freedom than you do in most games, just in terms of what you can do at any given moment in this open world.
It's like, and like, so like, an episode of, let's say, The Office,
mm-hmm.
24-minute show.
Sure.
That's kind of... And it's still a substantial show, enough to get a full plot arc.
Yeah.
Like, think of that as Horizon.
Uh-huh.
Zelda is, like, one episode of Sherlock.
Uh-huh.
They're, like both still one uh-huh. episode. They're both complete,
mm-hmm.
but their arc and their scope is... just they're, like, completely multi-layered, different. They're
like, and like sprawling.
And, like, they're yeah. both wonderful.
Yeah.
But they're just wonderful in just like, different ways.
Yeah.
It's not a one-to-one. But it's kind of comparable.
Look, I think Zelda is just a much better example of what video games can actually accomplish.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, the security guard that noticed the Triforce,
mm-hmm.
he probably doesn't even think that video games can be that.
No, he probably has no idea.
Like, he may be, very well be the guy who just thinks it's still, you know, oh, you got to beat your 8 levels with your 5 lives, and then you'll win the game and get all your points.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as video games have come, a lot of them are still held back by how artificial they feel. And I think Zelda is an example of a game feeling just so much more natural. And just, it feels like a world, not, it sounds so overwrought, but like not like a, like not like a, like a, like just a game. It feels like it's bigger than.
That's what terrifies me, is that what does the next Zelda look like?
Like, oh, that, yeah, they have, I don't know how they're going to fill those shoes.
Like, if it's bigger than this, that would be overwhelming. But if it's anything less than this,
it'd be underwhelming.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even, like, I mean, size-wise, I don't even think, like, I don't know if that would even matter. Like, would you, are you, if they made another world that was this big or, you know, 80%, like, no one's gonna notice.
You wouldn't even notice because, like, they're both just incomprehensibly big.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem with open world games. For the last decade, it's always been like, how big is your world? That's the first question anyone asks. How big is your world? But that doesn't really matter
if there's nothing to do
in the world. You know, Just Cause 2 or Ghost Recon Wildlands is that's a more timely example. That world is huge. But there's like one thing to do and lots of places in it.
Yeah.
Skyrim, fairly small open world, but it's jam-packed with stuff to do.
Lots to do.
The size doesn't really matter. It's the quality of that world. And so for Zelda, like it feels like Zelda just exploded everything. Like, I don't know, just throw everything we have at it.
I just don't understand why it works. Because they did so much with it. It's so ambitious, but like it just works. And
it's Nintendo doing something that they never do. It's them looking at their competition and actually building off of it.
Yeah. Which is a very Blizzard move.
It's a Blizzard move.
But like, Blizzard games are awesome because that's what they do. They take what exists and then just make it the best version of that thing. And that's what this new Zelda is. It's like they looked at all of these open worlds and it's like, what are the best parts of like all of these things? And then let's just make the best version of an open world that we can conceive. And it's been done so beautifully.
Yeah, and to that end, like if the game world was half the size it is, would it really affect the quality of it?
No. No.
Yeah, so I think that in itself kind of speaks volumes with the quality of the world they've created.
Yeah.
That like, if it were to be smaller, who cares?
Yeah. And it's such a weird thing because like, I mean, I'm singing praises about Zelda. I mean, it's the best game that I've played in a long time, but I played Horizon for 3 days before Zelda came out. Like, that game's incredible. It's fantastic. But I think the main difference is that Horizon is a really great game, but there's something magical about Zelda. It's a world that you get lost in. I have a lot of fun playing Horizon, but Zelda, like, I feel like I'm there. It's, what's that word that's, like, overused?
Fanboyism.
Immersed. Like, it's a very immersive game. It's, like, when you're playing it, you like, feel like you're there, and there's something beautiful about it.
Aww. Well, it's probably no better way to end than there.
I literally can't stop smiling.
That's weird.
Can't stop.
Well, walking. Through your smile, walk us out, Zelda.
This has been another episode of Trust Circle Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
Your mom's house.
Your mom's house.
The mail.
Please follow us on Twitter at Trust Circle Cast and review us on iTunes. Leave us a written review. Just like our friend Thomas Saradian did from CrossfaderMag.net. Unfortunately, his review was so long that it couldn't make it to iTunes, so we can't read it for you. But had some good things to say. Yeah. All right. Well.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Thomas. Until next time. Whatever Devin says to say goodbye.
Yeah. That's a link thing. I did a Zelda.
Is it?
Yeah. I did a Zelda.